Chapter 35, Good and Evil. Section A, The Good. Things are good in so far as they are. St. Thomas. Let us analyze this statement. What is it to be? What is better, to be or not to be? There is an infinite difference between the two, but also to be better is better than to be good, and to be best, better than to be better. To be is infinitely better than not to be, because good is the perfection of being. There are things which are more perfect than others, because their end is higher, but in so far as anything is, it is good, because it has reached an end. It may, of course, have still to reach a higher end. It can be better, but in so far as it is something already, it is good. It is better to be, even if it is not the best, than not to be at all. Of course, it is more important to finish than to start, but sometimes the best can be the enemy of the good, as when waiting for optimum opportunities that may never come, or preventing human life from coming into existence because of the difficulties involved. There are, therefore, degrees of good, just as there are degrees of being. See Chapter 17, Section D. The fullness of being, the esse of God, is the highest degree of goodness. It is goodness itself. See Chapter 23, Section D. On the other hand, the esse that has been received by a potency which limits it is thereby limited by the essence. See Chapter 16. It is therefore good in so far as it is, but it is not goodness itself, but only by participation. To be more precise, it is good on account of its act of being, or how much it actually is, because what a being is in potency does not count for its effective value. Value equals amount of good. Which is more valuable, for instance, a doctor or a medical student? A doctor, because a medical student may potentially be a better doctor, but not actually. Effective being is only actual being. A thing is good as far as its actuality goes. Potential being is good only in relation to its actuality, not in itself. Section B. Participated beings have a good end or purpose. The being who is pure act is goodness itself. Therefore, he has no end to attain outside himself. He has no end. He is the end. See Chapter 24, Section C. On the other hand, what in God is one, in the creature it is divided. The goodness of the creature is fragmented, and needs to complete itself by means of activities and accidents, so as to acquire its complete perfection, its final perfection. The creature is, therefore, good, but it can be better all the time until it reaches its end. Now, since the good of the creature is its end, the goodness of the creature lies in its ordination to its end. Section C. The final good moves beings. How does the end motivate the creature? We have seen that what is good, and the fullness of being is the fullness of good. What is therefore good is valuable and desirable. It is in that sense that it motivates us, because we see a value in it, and therefore desire it. God, as the fullness of being, loves himself as the most valuable being, but his love is identical with his being. So, when we say that God loves himself, we do not mean that God is moving towards himself, or that he desires himself. It is the overwhelming mystery of the bonum diffusivum sui. See Chapter 19, Section E, and Chapter 24, Section C. On the other hand, created being is motivated by its end. What is the first causes? see chapter 18, section F, and sets all other causes in motion. In this sense, the good is described by its effect. The final cause, which is what all beings desire, Aristotle, this good then, which motivates as final cause, is classified by St. Thomas into three kinds. 1. Honorable good, bonum honestum, the good desired for its own sake. 2. Useful good, bonum utile, the good desired for the sake of something else. 3. Enjoyable good, bonum delectabile, the good desired for the enjoyment that it gives. The root of enjoyment is the possession of the good, and if the possession of the good gives joy, the absence of it, which is evil, gives the opposite, which is grief or sorrow. However, joy and sorrow may subsist in the same subject or person in the intermediate steps towards the last end or ultimate good, due to the possibility of disorder and the struggle against obstacles. Section D. Evil as privation. Evil, as St. Thomas says, following the classical definition, is the privation of a good which is due. A thing is good by what it is. If it has failed to be what it should be, to that extent it is bad. Evil, as such, is purely negative. That is why we say that it has no formal cause, because its form would be the privation or absence of good. The material cause of evil, on the other hand, is the bearer of the privation, namely a being, an actual being, which as such is good, but it happens to be the material cause of something evil. No being, therefore, can be thoroughly evil, and there are degrees of evil just as there are degrees of good. There are beings that know and love, knowledge and appetition, angels, men, animals. In these beings, the attainment of good is accompanied by enjoyment, by the satisfaction of the desire, with the emotion of pleasure, delight, enjoyment, happiness, in an ascending order of refinement, depending on the perfection of the good attained. However, the good is not the same thing as the enjoyment. Enjoyment is the consequence of the good, not the good itself. Likewise, sorrow is not evil itself, but the consequence of evil, since evil is the privation of a good which is due. Section E. Evil as deordination. Now, when is a good due? This can be gleaned from the end of the thing. Let us take an example. Is the end of a dog to know and love God? Obviously not. So then, is it bad for the dog not to know and love God? No, because it is not something due. But it is bad for the rational creature whose end is precisely to know and love God. Therefore, evil, in the strict sense, consists in not attaining the end. Whatever hinders the movement towards the end is evil. Whatever takes a man away from God is evil. In other words, evil is a deordination or displacement from the direction to the end. Section F. Evil and freedom. Can deordination take place in every being? Can it occur in any being at all, or only in certain beings? To answer these questions, we shall ask another question. What kind of being has the power to deordinate itself? Only that which has power to direct itself to the end, i.e., the being endowed with freedom. Evil in the strict sense can appear only when there is freedom. As we said in chapter 30, section E, in heaven freedom reaches its perfection. There is no possible deordination there. Once the final judgment has taken place, the fullness of good is attained if the judgment is favorable, but before that, there is a possibility of deordination. Section G. Evil, as such, can neither move nor motivate. Since evil, as such, is nothing, neither is it active in the strict sense, an evil action is a defective action, i.e. an action lacking something due, the kind of action, insofar as it is good, but it is not as it should be. Evil, as such, therefore, cannot be an efficient cause or move anything, nor can it motivate anybody. It can never be a final cause. See chapter 29, section A. On the contrary, as such, it repels. It arouses hatred to the extent that it hinders from reaching the good. Therefore, no agent acts in order to produce evil for the sake of the evil itself. If he acts, it is for the sake of something good which is not due. For example, if someone wants to steal something, what motivates him is not the evil of the action or its injustice, because at that particular moment it appears as good to him that he should have that thing which is good. To have something is good, but to have it when it should not be there is what makes the action defective, and thereby evil. Section H. Physical Evil. Defective things in the universe, things that seem to fail or go wrong, are sometimes called evil, although this is not quite correct, since they follow the order designed by God for corruptible beings. See chapter 22, section D. Corruptible means that they can be destroyed or changed into other things. It is within the divine plan that these corruptible things should fail in their being, since, after all, their composition leads to it. Nevertheless, those failures, crop failures for instance, are indeed deficiencies, and can therefore appear as evil. They do so when considered out of context with regard to the entire order of the universe. Only God has the overall view of the universe. Since man does not have the power, these things may appear bad to him, especially if they harm him in some way. Besides, some of those deficiencies we attribute to nature are sometimes the result of defective actions of men, like floods caused by badly constructed dams. Some of these physical evils are more intimately related to man, like sickness or death. See chapter 19, section G, and thereby more related to moral evil. We know about this relationship, however, only by divine revelation, the redeeming value of suffering. It is not discoverable by mere philosophy. Philosophers outside Christianity have always been puzzled by this mystery. Section I. It is impossible for God to be the cause of evil. Since God is goodness itself, see chapter 23, section D, it is impossible for him to cause evil. It would be like a square circle. We should, however, clarify the following. As was explained in chapter 30, section G, God is the first or primary cause of everything that exists, and therefore of physical evil. Second causes are at work everywhere, but God is the first cause, always. Besides, physical evils may sometimes be a punishment for sin, although we are not in a position to pinpoint them, in which case they are actually good, being according to justice. On the other hand, moral evil, or sin, can never be the effect of God, since, in itself, it is not something positive, and therefore does not need a first cause. First cause is, by definition, the cause of the being of things. The evil act is not a being in itself and by itself, and in that sense it has no first cause. However, insofar as the sin is an action with an entity of its own, albeit accidental, it is caused by God, i.e., in its positive being. But taking into account that it has a deficiency which does not come from God, but from the second cause, the creature, and which precisely constitutes the sin as such. Lastly, there is something which, again, with mere philosophy we can only glimpse, but with divine revelation becomes very clear. The fact that, God permits evil through his providence in order to draw good out of it and to repair the disorder caused by the creature. See Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Omnia... in bonum.